Hello, fellow RoboCapitalists. Hope you're well. I'm here with my good buddy, Tony Lopes, and he is going to tell us how we can survive and thrive in the 2020s and hopefully through a fourth turning. So kind of a common guy's guide to just surviving for what we're going to most likely deal with, some turbulent times in the near future. So, Tony, welcome to the Rebel Capitalist channel, buddy.
Ah, thank you, George. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, now you just came out with a book that kind of goes over this. So why don't you go over kind of the premise for your book? And you're a good buddy, so I wanted to have you on to promote it. And then let's go into the market recap for the day, because we got Josh on the line. And I'm only going to have time to do one video today because we're at our mastermind group. You're a member of my mastermind, and we've got a lot of other stuff to do. So we'll go into our market recap and then into a deep dive in your book and give some people some actionable advice as to how they can not only survive, but thrive. So, but before we get to the market cap, can you go over kind of a short Reader's Digest version of your book?
Sure. So my book is, you know, kind of based on my experience after speaking with folks who, you know, so I should take a step back. The title of my book is called Freedom at Risk, How to Protect Your Personal and Financial Freedoms. Great. And it was based on my conversations with a lot of people out there, just everyday people trying to figure it out, like you and me, right? Just trying to figure out our freedoms. And what I discovered was a lot of folks were treating their freedoms kind of like a casino, right? Mm-hmm. They would treat their freedoms like pulling the arm on a slot machine. Right. And whatever freedom showed up on the screen, they would just accept, right? And so through my book, what I try to show folks is how to treat their freedoms more like a game of blackjack, right? Mm-hmm. Probabilities, predictabilities, right? And be more strategic in terms of finding your freedoms in this world.
Yeah, okay, got it. So that's a great teaser. And I want to get into three or four actionable kind of bullet points. So we can do it three simple, fast steps.
If you want. Sure, let's do it. I love it.
Okay, let's get over into the market here, because I do want to recap the day. I know the NASDAQ was up and the stock market was up and the what was it, Luna or whatever that quote unquote stable, ironically enough, coin, I guess went BK. And so that's going to potentially affect Tether, which might affect Bitcoin. Let's get into the markets real quick here. The CNBC homepage. We'll start by looking at the U.S. market. So Dow up 466 points today, S&P up 93, NASDAQ up 434. And like I said, big story of the day here, regulators are growing anxious. And when regulators grow anxious, that makes rebel capitalists anxious, because we know there's going to be some, the politicians never have to pay for their mistakes. But people in the private sector, like you and I, do, and so do entrepreneurs. And as the, you know, Tara should, but what ends up happening is we get a lot of unintended consequences from these regulations to, quote unquote, protect the average Joe and Jane. And usually what we get is the opposite of that. So I guess it was UST falls further from the dollar peg as the cryptocurrency Luna crashes to zero, basically goes bust. And the world's biggest stable coin regains, I guess. So it looks like UST has, world's biggest stable coin regains dollar peg after $3 billion in withdrawals. Okay, so I'm going to get into that maybe in a later video, Tony. I don't want to take up too much of your time, because that's something that I think deserves a deep dive in itself. They're referring to Tether, but we were referring to Terra as far as the collapse. So stock market's up, but I want to point out that the 10-year is at 2.92. And I was just talking to Josh. He said that the 2-year is about 2.5 and some change. So we still have kind of a little bit of a steepener there on the curve, definitely not inverted. But the 10-year was over 3 just as a few days ago. And now down 2, this is telling me that the market is predicting potentially that the Fed is going to hike rates at a slower pace. I would be very interested to see what was happening with the euro dollar future curve. And Josh will probably have time to get into that on Monday. So moving on to oil, that's up to 110. So the supply demand equation isn't getting any better there. I guess this has a lot to do with what's going on in Russia, Ukraine. I know a lot of the, I think it was the EU or maybe Germany, a few of those countries were talking about shutting off their oil altogether, which, as we know, would be not really disastrous for Russia, but would be disastrous for the citizens of those countries that were basically virtue signaling at a sovereign level. Gold. Now, this is something, Tony, and I'd like to get your opinion, because I think you're probably going to be talking a little bit about precious metals when we dive into your book. But gold down, I believe it got under 1800 today. And as someone that is really excited about building a long-term position in gold, this is great for me. So again, I'm long-term, I'm bullish, you know, commodity super cycle. So whenever I can get something that I like long-term, it takes a big crash, I'm all about it. What are your thoughts on gold at 1800?
Yeah, so this is one of the things, like you mentioned, that I talk about in my book, where, you know, there's many different ways where you can create multiple income streams and create wealth for yourself, right? And I go into the book, I talk about real estate, and I talk about a lot of different things. But one of the things people can do for themselves, you don't, if you don't have a lot of wealth today to invest in real estate or go buy stocks or bonds or something like that, one of the things I share with people is we have a thriving gig economy. And the average person can go work in the gig economy, make an extra $1,000 a month in that gig economy, and then use that to go buy an asset like gold, right? And put that gold into your portfolio, right? And watch it like you do, George, and I do, right? Watch it to find where those price points are, where you want to jump into the gold market, right?
Yeah, and I'm not saying 1800 is that mark, but it's 1800 for me is a lot better than 1900 or 2000. It's definitely getting cheaper. And I like to do that 10-80-10 portfolio. Yep. So the 10% of the portfolio that's gold, I usually buy pretty much at any price if I have excess cash. But the cheaper I can buy it, the better. If I want to go long term, kind of express my bullish position on gold or my bullish view on gold, I would look at some of the gold miners, maybe some of the junior miners, which I don't have a chart in front of me, but I would assume have just been crushed over the last, call it 6 months or something like that. And for me, as a long-term bull, that's great news. Most people would have the opposite view.
Yeah, exactly. And again, we talk about buying gold at you know, whether it's 1700 or 1800. For some folks, that may seem like a lot of money, but you bring up a great point in terms of you don't have to buy the actual precious metal. You can go buy gold miners, right? You know, two shares, five shares, 10 shares, right? These are the actionable type things that we kind of teach folks to get into the market, start understanding some of these different dynamics that go on, and try to create wealth for yourself when the market conditions are right.
Yeah. So let's move on. And I love the idea about the gig economy. And that's something I did prior to YouTube. A few people know that story where I went out, I proved to a lot of people, including myself, that you could accumulate wealth while working at McDonald's and working a gig job. That was something I did back in, I think, 2017, maybe it was. And I won't go into that because I want to make this about the markets in the book. But for those on the live stream right now that know what I'm talking about, that's kind of like an inside rebel capitalist George Gammon story for those who watch every single video. Okay. Now let's go over NASDAQ up huge today. So we'd assume Bitcoin is the same. It is up 5%, but it's still hovering and it spent quite a bit of time under 30, which I believe from a technical standpoint is very bearish. And again, as someone who's a long-term bull with Bitcoin, just for a portion of asset on the speculative side to have some purchasing power outside the banking system. I love it. I love it. I hope it goes down to 20. I hope it goes down to 15, even further, so I can add to my position. And what I'm looking for here is just panic in the market. And my big trigger would be if Michael Saylor has to sell. If he has to start selling Bitcoin, that's when I start buying. That's what I've said multiple times on this channel. So that's what's happening in the market. And I think the big news, big takeaway here is market up on what I think are probably expectations that the Fed is going to maybe continue to raise rates, but raise rates at a slower pace, regardless of, you know, what they're saying. That we always have to look at what they're doing and not what they're saying. Okay, so we get back, Tony, and let's go into some of the actionable advice, just because I get that so often in the comments of my videos. And they sit there and say, George, you talk about Klaus and you talk about Machiavelli and these crazy politicians and Trudeau, and you talk about the repo market and the repo fails and quantitative easing and inversion of the yield curve, potentially bringing down asset prices and home prices coming down. Maybe not in nominal terms, but in real terms, back to their trend line in 2012 to 1997, et cetera. And so, you know, what do I do? And then you all, other people say, well, we always talk about a plan B as well, but I can't just pack up and go to Turkey to get my Turkish passport. And, you know, I got my kids in school, and there's logistics there, George. Not all of us are single and retired, you know. So what can the average Joe do?
Yeah, so you bring up a great point. And for those that are in a position, whether they're single or even if they're married, right, to be able to pull the trigger on something like a dual citizenship is a huge way to tap into greater freedoms, right?
Yeah. What if they can't do that? Like, what if that's just absolutely not an option for them? So to have that same a similar type of freedom, is there something they can do? I mean, I always talk about just having a good like 1990s diesel truck and an RV in your driveway. So like, I mean, that sounded funny, but we go back to 2020 when we had all the riots and the looting and whatnot. And that was something that came in very, very handy for a lot of people in these urban areas that could just pack their family up, go up to the mountains and just relax a little bit. You know, another thing too, when Russia invaded Ukraine, as you know, my sister lives here in Dallas. And the very first thing I did is I said, Lise, just make sure you've got an exit strategy for the United States. The probability that you have to use it is incredibly low, but the stakes right now are very, very high. So there is no downside in preparation. So I said, go to a map and figure out if you had to go to Mexico, where would you want to go? And how would you get there in a moment's notice? And make sure you got some extra food in the car and, you know, some lights and things that you need. There's no downside to that type of preparation. But what are your thoughts?
No, you're absolutely right. Right. And all of this, you know, takes a certain amount of planning and thinking out this strategy, right? You know, you can't think about it one day and expect it to be in place the next day. You know, you have to take action. You have to think this through. One of the things I've been working through with a friend of mine is, you know, they are looking at buying real estate, right? They're in a very fortunate position. They can purchase some real estate to be able to produce some, you know, some cash flow for them, which is great. But we all know this market is at potentially a top where things are very expensive right now, and it's difficult to produce cash flow. So one of the things I've shared with them that's a very doable is buy in a location that's a good location, a safe location, not necessarily a bug out location, but a secondary location where you could Airbnb that property, right? Provide some cash flow, pay the mortgage, pay the property tax, right? Pay all the expenses on the property. But then also, if you needed to use it as a secondary location to go to, right? Say, for example, I mean, let's go to the extreme and say there's a civil war in this country, right? Or there's something that goes on in your state, you know, due to, you know, something happening in society, right? And you want to bug out of that state, you have another place to go to that you've already thought through, you've already planned for. And to your point, maybe you have some extra food, some extra water on site in that property, right? So it's one of those things that it takes time to plan, but if you take that time, you can do it right and you know, really protect your freedoms.
Yeah, I was looking at properties up in Pine Top in Arizona, just because I thought, you know, what area would I like to spend time if things got a little crazy? And Pine Top was one of those areas, Snowflake as well.
Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today.
On that note, we've got Josh here. Josh, hop onto the live stream, my friend.
Hello.
And you are in Dallas as well. And Josh has been with me since last weekend. We were here for the Mark Moss event. I was speaking there with my buddy Mark Moss. And I stayed with my sister over the week. So I needed to put up Josh in a hotel. And we act. And my sister lives in Keller, by the way, Keller, Texas. And so we actually put Josh up at a property that I have been talking about on my channel since the very beginning. And this was an old 1973 Airstream that someone purchased, and they put on this property that was not too far off the road. And what was really neat, I thought it was just that they did it with just one Airstream, but they had an Airstream, they had three container homes on this property, and then they had another, it was like a
shed, like someone turned like their shed into another Airbnb.
Yeah, but let's focus on that Airstream for a moment, because I know a lot of people, they kind of like, what, George, what are you talking about? Okay, let's just do some math here. Everyone can understand basic math. This Airstream, I know, and it wasn't an Airstream, it was like a competitor to the Airstream, but it kind of looked like it. It had that vibe, you know, that old school, like Americana heritage type iconic vibe. It was silver, you know, and they had it all done up to where they had like a swing on the outside and like horseshoes or that cornhole game. And they had these flowers in pots that looked like those things where cattle get water, you know? So they had the whole vibe and the whole theme all laid out. But I know those Airstreams, I've owned some of them, and I know what this one would cost. And you could get one on eBay for probably $5,000. Hmm. Okay. And then you would fix it up a little bit. So say that you've got $20,000 into the little Airstream thing. And then you maybe spend another $5,000 on the little swing and putting the lights on the oak tree in front and the little deck and the barbecue and all the stuff that makes it fun. And then you buy the property. Let's say you get it up at Pine Top or somewhere like that, or near the Grand Canyon, or even kind of on the outskirts of your local area. And let's say you buy the property for $10,000 or whatever. Let's say that you're in it for $30,000. Okay. Well, I was paying for Josh to stay in this in an Airstream, for heaven's sakes. In an Airstream, I was paying $100 a night for him to stay in this Airstream. Do the math on the ROI there, right? If he's got an 80% occupancy rate, I mean, he's bringing like right off the top of my head, he's bringing, what do you think, Tony? Maybe 1500, 1700 a month for the bottom line and for a $30,000 investment.
And you have the asset in terms of the Airstream.
That if it doesn't work out, all you do is take your Airstream and just sell it on eBay and you'll get your money back for the Airstream. And then if you lease the property, you have absolutely no liability whatsoever. You don't even, if it doesn't work out, you just break the lease or you do whatever. I mean, this is just it's a no-brainer business model. And for those who want to get involved with real estate and don't have $100,000 or $250,000, maybe they've got 20. And even if you have 20, you can do it because there's an RV called a Shasta. You remember those, Tony? You and I are, Josh probably doesn't remember those. But you and I are at the age, those were and they used to call them canned hams as well. They were the little like oval thing and they had the silver wings on the back.
Yep.
Remember those?
Yep.
You can get those already rehabbed on eBay for like 10 or 15 grand. And what's cool about them is you can charge just as much because they still have that, that iconic kind of Americana type Route 66 vibe to it.
And these
don't have bathrooms, but what Josh's setup had is a little bathhouse that they did right outside of the RV, which they probably put together for a couple grand. I mean, it was super, super cheap, but it was cool. It went along with the whole theme of the rest of it. So again, my point here, guys, is you can still get a 20% yield, or what would that be? That'd be a lot more than 20%.
Oh, a lot more than 20%.
We're making, Absolutely. Let me do the math here. We've got $1,500 a month, let's say, times 12. That's $18,000 a month on a $35,000 investment. So that's a 50% return that you're making there at an 80% occupancy rate. And it could double as kind of your bug out area or bug out location in case it hits the fan. So, I mean, it serves multiple purposes. And I think it's just a really neat opportunity that a lot of people haven't thought about and is in and is accessible to the majority of the people instead of like with normal real estate, you know, you got to have 100, 200, 300 grand.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, you always have that asset. And even if you don't rent it out, right? Even if you just buy it and you park it in your driveway, right?
Yeah.
If you ever need to bug out of your particular state, you can do that with this, right? So it provides you that freedom of mobility.
I've seen people rent out their RV that is parked in their driveway on Airbnb. like you just stay the night, you don't drive it, you know. But you just stay the night in their RV that's parked in their driveway, and they still rent that out for like $50 a night or something like that. There's a lot of ways.
It's just being creative and taking taking that risk, right? There's a small amount of risk that we all take in doing this. And I think sometimes people, they want to have certain freedoms or they want certain liberties, but they don't want to take some of that risk to achieve them. And George, you're bringing up some very easy things to go do that we can all do, right? Is there a little bit of risk involved? Yeah, absolutely. You could get a lemon and it could take you more than you thought it was going to take to fix up. But, you know, you got to take the risk.
And not just risk, but you got to take action.
Yes.
I think that's what it's all about. And I think one of the other main takeaways here is you don't want to do these things in a reactionary state. So you don't want to wait. And that's what so many people do. They wait until it hits the fan and then they scramble around, you know, freaking out when then there's state of emotion and this whipped up into a frenzy. And then they're trying to figure out what to do. And you're always going to make bad decisions when you're in that mental state, where if you do it and it's premeditated, then you've got an action plan. Then if it does hit the fan, then you just execute that plan that was thought through when you were completely rational.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. The need to take action or the fact that some people can't take action is a topic that I covered on one of my videos, you know, to share with my subscribers to say, you know, hey, if you're still studying some of this and you haven't taken action, you really need to go back and do a self-assessment on why haven't you taken action? Is it because of fear? Is it because your family is, you know, saying you're going to be a failure? Is it because of past failures that you've had that you're saying, oh, geez, I don't want to fail again, right? So you really got to go back and say, you know, because all these are great ideas. But to your point, if you don't take action, it's never going to materialize. So yeah. You got to take a look. Why haven't I taken action? If it's because I'm afraid of something, why? And how do I overcome that?
Yeah.
You got to do that self-assessment.
And that's another thing too, Tony. You and I are both fortunate to be surrounded by 30 or 40 incredibly, incredibly successful people this weekend,
yeah.
Financially successful. And yesterday we went on a property tour with Kenny McElroy's properties, and he was showing us kind of the math behind when he bought some of these properties back in 2008, 2009. Right during the GFC. And I mean, the return he made was just absolutely staggering. But my point is that if there was a common denominator for all of these successful people that were around this weekend that are in our mastermind group, it would be they take action.
Yep.
Sometimes they don't always win. They don't always succeed. And often they fail, but they're just constantly taking action.
I was just chatting with one of the folks in the mastermind about cryptocurrencies. Mm. Now, I'm not a crypto guy. I know next to nothing about it, but I'm trying to learn, right? And I'm trying to potentially jump into what you've talked about, George, in terms of asymmetrical plays, right? You know, to be able to maybe jump in into a cryptocurrency that may be the right one for me, and then see exponential upside to that cryptocurrency down the road, a year, 5 years down the road, right? I'm not going to invest my entire life savings into it. That'd be silly. But if I take a few thousand dollars and put it into a crypto that could potentially have exponential upside, I'll take that asymmetric play any day of the week, right?
Yeah.
But there's risk. There's risk associated with me doing that, and I need to accept that risk.
Yeah. And the way I always was before I retired is I never felt as though I was taking excessive risk, and it never seemed risky to me, because every single time I took action and I took my life savings and put it on the line, I was doing so in a business that I had, right or wrong, I had 100% confidence in that I would make it work.
Yeah.
And so I always tell the story of the first business that I started, where I had to borrow some money. And I put in my entire life savings, and then I had to borrow 400 grand. Hmm. All right. And Tony, you know what my payments were on that 400? I borrowed it from a guy that I had done business with. And he's kind of like a mentor to me.
Oh, but, good. So not a loan shark.
Well, the interest rate may have been a loan shark. But we were just having dinner, and he's like, you know, how much money do you need? And I said, well, probably 400. And he goes, okay, well, if I'll give you 400, but you basically pay me 20 grand a month. And I'm like, okay, fine. Yeah, it took me about 3 seconds to say okay, but looking back in retrospect, I was like 20 grand a month for a $400,000 loan. Are you kidding? And most people would have said, hell no, I'm not paying that. That's, you know, loan shark fees or something like that. But my point is, I although I was taking massive risk, I was willing to do that, and I was just all about taking action first and foremost. But I had the confidence in myself and my ability and my understanding of the business model to know that yeah, I'm going to pull this off regardless of how much I have to pay this guy per month. And sure enough, that business exploded, and it was extremely profitable. But I think that's really the moral of the story here, Tony, is whether you're trying to create financial freedom or whether you're trying to create a personal freedom and liberty for yourself and your family, you've got to have a plan. You've got to educate yourself. You've got to assess the risk. But at the end of the day, you've got to get off the couch and just do something. Take action, throw 10 things up against the wall and see what sticks. And you just can't sit there and just, get angry on the couch at the world and like be like that old man yelling at clouds. That's fine. And you want to understand the world around you. You understand what's going on with the global elite and Klaus and Trudeau and Biden and all these crazies. At the end of the day, you want to make sure that you are setting up that game plan and you're taking that action. So you're going to thrive, not just survive, but thrive in what is most likely going to be a fourth turning or a tumultuous decade of the 2020s.
And it gets easier. The more you do it, the more you practice this, the more you take action, right? It gets easier. You know, I'm fortunate enough to be in this collective mastermind with all you brilliant people, right? I'm fortunate to be here. And I've gotten here by, you know, taking on a certain amount of risk. But now that I'm here and I'm chatting with all you super smart people, right? I'm like the dumbest one in the room. And so now I'm learning from all these super smart people. And it gives me more confidence in being able to take some of those risks as well, right? Because we're talking at a higher level, right? And so we're batting these ideas around, and it just gives me more confidence in my beliefs and in my thought process, right? To be able to take some of these risks. So for the folks out there listening, it gets easier over time, the more action you do take.
Yeah, it's like a muscle, isn't it? It is. It's like a muscle that you go to the gym, you got to exercise it. And when you do, it gets better and better and easier to lift those weights.
That's a great analogy. I think I'm going to put it in my book, George.
I'm going to
steal that.
Well, Tony, I kept you a half hour, buddy. When is the book out? Where can people get it?
So our launch date is June 28th, and they can find it on Amazon.
Okay.
We're also going to be on Walmart.com, Target.com. They can find us there, but for most folks, they go straight to Amazon. We'll be on Barnes & Noble as well. We'll be out there.
What's the name of the book again?
Freedom at Risk: How to Protect Your Personal and Financial Freedoms.
Okay. And what's your YouTube channel?
My YouTube channel is called Dirty Boots Capital. And I do a whole bunch of different videos, everything from economics to, freedom videos to videos on taking action, different things happening in politics. One of the things that you've shared is, you know, just get out there and start doing something different. Start talking about something, start educating yourself. And for me, put myself on YouTube, right? I need to educate myself to be able to put some of those stories out there, right?
You're preaching the choir. You're preaching
right?
The five guys on two whiteboard videos a week for 2.5 years.
and it's not easy. I mean, you, God bless you. You make it look so easy, George. And I've told you that many, many, many times. But now that I'm doing it behind the scenes myself on my YouTube channel, it takes time and energy to put those things together.
But it's worthwhile, isn't it? It is.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. When you see the comments roll in and people say, you know, wow, you really helped me understand that point, right? You know, I did a video on Zoltan Pozsar and his Bretton Woods 3 a letter that he came out on Credit Suisse. Man, that's an 11-page, very technical article.
Yeah.
And so I broke it down I think I broke it down to like a 20-minute video. And, you know, it helped me understand it better, right? Because I had to make it understandable to a certain level. And in the comments I received on that, you know, people saying, wow, you helped me understand it. That makes me feel good and gives me energy to keep going on and keep producing more and more content.
Yeah. Let's take an action. All right, Tony, you and I have to meet downstairs here in about a half hour. So we'll let you go. Thanks for your time. And we'll see you soon.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me on, George.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.